Well, good morning to you all. Those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris, and I hail from South Africa. So with an African on stage, you can expect anything, you know. I can jump, I can dance, anything. But I want to say thank you so much for making this week, this past week, such a pleasurable moment. I think it's one of the best visits that I've ever had to the fellowship. Well, definitely the best visit that I've had to the fellowship in the years that I've been part of it. And then being here with people like you, some with bigger tummies than they had before when I was here, and some of you, you know, that have not been yet at the conference that we're seeing here now. It's so good to see you, and thank you for having me. You know, I think Bruce, who works in Africa, would probably join me in saying, you guys mean a lot to us. Keeping us in the field, making it possible for us to do what God has called us to do. I want to commend you. I want to thank you and say thank you for all the years. For me, I think it's 32 and counting. And it's been a blessing being associated with this fellowship. Just something special. I'm friends with many churches, but this is my number one. Because we're a family. This is where we're close. I'm at many churches that I go in and go out, and I don't know one name. Now, I used to know all your names. But things have improved for me in life, and my forgettery is now much better. But it really is a joy and a pleasure of coming here and being here in December. When was I here? Yes, Thanksgiving. And I'll be back for Thanksgiving again this year. But from my heart and from the Lodewijk tribe in South Africa, a hearty thank you for the friendship and for the love that we have shared, each one of you. We've been invited out to the best meals that we've seen and eaten, and we've been totally treated over the years in a wonderful, wonderful way. And now that I come most of the time alone, well, I get it even better. You know, so thank you so much. It is a pleasure being part of this fellowship and this church. I regard it as my church. I think I'm almost more here than I'm in the church that they say I belong to. But thank you so much. I felt very much that I want to this morning be an encourager. And if there's nobody that needs encouragement, well, pray for the one next to you. They may need encouragement. But I feel in my heart that I want to speak to you about, you know, how much you can be encouraged by what everything that God says. And I use this term often, that I have learned that there is nothing that God says he is that he ain't. He is indeed everything that he says he is. And after traveling with the Lord and ministry for 65 years this year, I have come to know that, you know, Jesus is true to his word. And I have almost no more doubts. Wherever I've been, wherever I've gone, he's been there to cover me. And you have sent me to many places. And I can spend this morning almost just giving testimony of what God has done. But I want to assure you that God is alive and well no matter what happens in the world. And I have no doubt that the times we live in, there are doubts. Christians begin to doubt. It's sad, but it's true. I mean, every time you switch on television, you check. You don't check if there are people doubt. No, you're dead. You just sort of check how many has died today. That's the normal. Every morning you see it's 20, it's 30, it's 100, or what? Every single day. And God has been gracious to us, each one, that we are alive and well and have this gracious and God-given opportunity to serve Him and to serve one another. I want to speak to you about our God, the help of those who seek Him. One of the most beautiful psalms for me in the Bible, and there are many who agree with me, is Psalm 121, verse 1, 2, and 3. And you can go on from there. And you can read it over and over and over, and you just gain strength from it every time you read it, because it is so, so precious. When it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. What a promise. What a promise. That even if you and I fall into slumber at times, not only at nighttime, but even during daytime, He never sleeps, He never slumbers. He is there for us at all times. I looked at the scripture and I read the psalm over in the last 2-3 nights, over and over and over, right through. And every line is almost a fresh promise. It's been there, we've read it, we've enjoyed it, we feel secure by it. But every time you read it, it just empowers you to just go stronger for God, go beyond where you've gone, do more than you've done because of all that He does for us. The psalmist, anticipating his journey through the hills of Jerusalem, a route filled with anxiety, he seeks for help, perhaps looking around, perhaps looking inward, and then finally looking up. I said, he anticipates the journey through the hills. Now, if you haven't been there, maybe you haven't walked with the long enough. But there are hills at one time or another. At the time, sometimes when we want to go downhill, but we feel it's more uphill. Now, the good news is that I do not know of an uphill that doesn't have a downhill. If there's one in Seattle, you must introduce me to it. Somewhere, it will go down. Otherwise, the whole earth will just be going one way, up. But every hill you find has a downhill. Some of them, you got to tread on the level for a while before you can go down, just to recover from your climb up. But once you have recovered from your climb up and go level, there comes the downhill. When I started working for the Lord with a bicycle, the downhill was the most precious thing. The Hout Bay Hills, some of you don't know Hout Bay, but the Hout Bay Hills, I used to go from Weinberg and you then walk up the mountain to Hout Bay. And when I come up top, oh my, thank you, Jesus, now I don't pedal anymore. It's just one way down, right down to where the beach is. You remember it, Lorena? You pedaled down there? No, you went by car. But It is the most beautiful, relaxing thing to sit there and through the greenery until you see the ocean. You're going down there. And you now forget that you have not paddled, but walked with a bicycle up that mountain. And I've done it for years, and I have every time simply enjoyed doing it, planting a church there, and then with that bicycle up the hill, pushing him. Sometimes I would say to myself, now, why am I bringing you with me if I got to push you? But then again, I need him for the other side. I need him for the other side. And I want to assure you that just as the psalmist journeying through these hills must have looked at them and say, my, I got a hill ahead of me. But if you read the whole psalm through, then you will know that he was strengthened by his faith that he's going to make it. And let me say to you, you're going to make it. Okay? You're going to make it. No matter how, no matter what, you're going to make it. Why? Because you've invited Jesus to walk with you. You'll make it. The journey through the hills of Jerusalem, considering the route filled with anxiety on that trip that he's making, the anxiety of what lies ahead, what lies beyond that hill. What's it like? What threatens me on this journey? We need not be fearful, but we all are concerned at one time or another at what lies ahead. Even now, some of you may be thinking already of Monday and find it difficult to concentrate on today. But I am here, called of the Lord, to encourage you, not to preach to you, just to talk to friends and say, be encouraged. There's a downhill ahead. Be encouraged and try not to have that anxiety rob you of the joy of the Lord, so that you may walk and climb, because it's the end of the journey that really matters. It's the end. It what lies at the end that's precious. Filled with anxiety, and then it seems that this psalmist seems to be seeking the help. He knows he needs help. And first, he looks inward. Am I strong enough? Am I going to make it? Have I got the tools for this job? Realizing that he hasn't got it all together, he then begins to look, you know, outward. What's out there? What can I look at to encourage me? But finally, he decides, I must look up. Now we all come to that place where we look sideways, because our family's there, our friends are there, our work is there. We seek that victory through what we see. We're hoping that the circumstances ahead of me will be better. And that's why I look ahead of me. Going through the desert, you've got to keep your eyes there. I'm not, au fait with what animals are in the desert. I've never been there. But one thing, if you go into a strange place like a desert, you would want to keep your eyes out there, because if you see nothing, that gives you hope. If you see something, that makes you shudder. But eventually, he looks up. If you read that psalm through, then he describes more or less what I'm saying here. Then finally, he looks up, because that's where my help comes from. We must never look ahead without looking up. Looking ahead, important. Very important. We got to know where we're going. But we got to remember, every time we look ahead of us, There are times where we've got to look up, because it's Him that's taking us from where we are to where we need to be. Bishop William Alfred Quayle. I never knew the name before. I just looked it up and I found it there. He was a leader of the Methodist Church years ago. And he shared about the night he walked into the morning, through the night, trying to finish his project. At a moment of tense pressure, when he felt he was so tired and overwhelmed, his eyes fell on Psalm 121. And the promise of the Lord's 24-hour vigil over him. And this reminded him of how defeating and exhausting were his efforts to work for God rather than allowing God also to work for him, because he wanted to do it all by himself. And then he heard the voice of the Lord saying to him, "Quail, there's no need for both of us to stay up all night. I'm going to stay up anyhow. So why don't you go to bed and have a good sleep? Because I'm always up." And it's good to know as we travel that even if we fall asleep along the way, there's somebody that never sleeps. That if we get tired, there's somebody that never tires, because we walk with God. This conference that has been this week, I pray that you will be strengthened by the fellowship, the people, the messages, what God has said here, that you will feel that you can conquer. But in your efforts to conquer, don't leave God out. He wants to be there. He's there all the time. Yes, it's good to have a few nights of fast and prayer and go through, but don't ever believe that you've got to stay sleepless every night in order for you to be saved. He's up all the time. And he's saying to Quay, "Listen, I'm going to be up anyhow, so why don't you go to bed?" It sounds good to me, you know. That if I go to bed, that Jesus is saying to me, you know, "Let's, Chris, man, don't be hungry for punishment. Just go to bed. I have to be up anyhow." And that's what he does for us. He's there doing day and night shift for you and I. Day and night, ready to be there for us. I want you to be strengthened so that you can strengthen others. I want you to be strengthened so that you, in this fellowship of members here, that you can be even a greater encouragement to one another and to those family members that desperately needs to be strengthened. Is there day and night for you and I? The evidence of his presence is there for us to see. Psalm 19 from 1 to 4, David writes and he says, "The heavens declare God's glory." It's there. If you walk in the night, you can see he's there. It declares God's glory. It says the firmament shows his handiwork everywhere. We're heading out of town today. We'll be back in a few days. But I've already been shown and taught that we're going to look out for some beautiful sights along the way. And these are the handiwork of your Father and my Father. And I'm looking forward, and when we drive through there this afternoon, that we will be looking about and saying, how pretty, how beautiful. Look at that mountain. Look at that. That's our God's handiwork. The firmament shows his handiwork, and he can never be outdone. So we go and enjoy a little bit of his firmament today as we travel. Day unto night, it utters speech. Whether it's day or whether it's night, it speaks to us. Man, I love the evenings. I love the mornings. On my walk early morning as the sun comes up, and sometimes before the sun comes up, I want to talk to God. I go out there to talk to the Lord, but I find him talking to me more. Maybe I need the talking of more than him. But just to hear him speak, to see what he does, for me, it's something special. It's more than a sermon. Day and night, whether it's night or day, it's there to see. The night unto the night reveals knowledge, and it says there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. We should hear it more to be encouraged. We should hear it more to be encouraged, so that we can be stronger, stronger every day as we go forward. Their voice, lion, has gone through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. This most beautiful statement of the trustworthy word of God is found in Psalm 19, as I said, and it's worthwhile reading it over and over. The law of the Lord is perfect. Absolutely perfect. And it's converting to the soul, strengthening to the soul. It says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise even feel simple. The statutes of the Lord is right, rejoicing of the heart. What am I trying to say to you? I'm trying to say to you, there is nowhere that you will walk where he will not walk with you. I'm trying to say to you, if this week perhaps have worried you up to this day, stop the worry. Yes, attend to it where there must be attended to, but do not let the devil rob you of the life that God intends for you. I absolutely refuse to accept what he offers me. I will take what God offers me, and I will walk with that. He's promised to be with me. He's promised to strengthen me in times when I'm weak. I'm taking that promise. I will not be robbed of my joy. I will not be robbed of the life that he intends for me and what he intends for you. They call Mondays blue. I don't know why. I never wear blue on a Monday. But the fact remains is that, you know, why should there be a blue Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? It doesn't matter. It can come, it will go. If you believe in blue Mondays, all right, let me give you hope. There will be a Tuesday following. But there will be no blue Mondays for me, because God is not off on a Monday. He doesn't take off Mondays. I don't know why it should be worse for us as Christians when he doesn't take off. So every single day can be that breakthrough day. Even the Mondays can be your breakthroughs. And I want to encourage you and say, stay strong. Don't let issues and things happening in our globe get you down. Just let it get you up and say, thank God I know where I stand. And I'll do what I can in the little area where you've planted me. I go back to South Africa next week. I'm already itching to put my hands onto what I need to do. I won't tell you what I have to do, but There are things I have to do. But I'm ready for what I have to do. I'm itching for what it is. I enjoy the company here. Yes, I'd like to stay. It's that kind of a mixed feeling, you know. I want to stay, but I want to go because there's things to be done. I look forward to every single day. There's never a day that I feel, oh, it's one of those days again. Am I perfect? No, absolutely not. Those who know me can testify to that. But, you know, with friends like that, who needs enemies? But it is a fact that we need to be excited about what lies ahead. You know, don't let us get up in the morning and say, here's another one. Don't go to bed tonight and say, oh my, tomorrow is Monday. It's just another day, whatever you call it. But God is never off duty. He's there every day. And if Monday comes up tomorrow at your office or wherever you are and it's a little bit tough, just remember, He's with you. He's with you. He'll take you through. You know, the beauty of God and the stupidity of the devil. Now, I hate to use the word stupidity. That word stupid, my little two-year-old told me. He's four now, but he told me when he was two. Pa, don't say stupid. I almost had to back and say, oh, sorry. I didn't say somebody is stupid. I said what was done is stupid. But you don't say stupid. Say, what must I say? He said, you can say silly Billy. So the devil is an absolute silly Billy when he thinks he's going to get me down. Am I that spiritual? No. Am I that different? No. I have just learned a little bit, just a teeny bit, that I'll never give him the glory of getting me under. I will walk my walk. I will live my life, whether it's an uphill or a downhill, because I know that every uphill has a downhill. My simple message this morning is nothing that you haven't heard. But it's just that I feel that the Holy Spirit has asked me to repeat it to you. The very things that you know, that you believe it afresh. You don't need new things. The very things you are taught and the very things that you know, those things are true. And it works. And the more you practice it, the more He will head off and just leave you and go to the neighbors. He'll have to let go of you because you don't give in to Him. Because God is on our side. Someone without Christ do not know this, cannot know it. It's not possible to know it. They may have read it in a storybook and will think, okay, I've read something about it. They cannot know because it's God inside that gives you that assurance, that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of the glory divine. He's there for us at all times. It's a feeling of joy and it's a feeling of security in Christ. It's an insurance policy that you took out the day you came to Jesus. And I got news for you. There's no date that it lapsed. It's a lifelong insurance. He will be with you. So you can be strong. Even the atheist knows deep down that it is so. Somebody said that during the war, or not somebody, I read it, that during the war, there was a proverb developed. And the proverb was amongst the military men that were there. And it went like this: there are no atheists in foxholes. You got that message? Did you read it? There are no atheists in foxholes when you're at war. All of a sudden, they believe. But when they appear on level ground where they can see and know, there they decide to not believe. But inwardly, as a human being, God has planted something that says He's alive. And let us this morning remind ourselves that He is alive, and He is well, and He is on duty, and He is at hand, and He is ready, and He is willing to take you from where you are to where you need to be. And if tomorrow is that day that you have already planned, it's going to be a tough one. You haven't got the off day. Be encouraged. Be encouraged, because it could be the day of your biggest breakthrough. That very day that you think will be the day that's going to haunt you, that very day can be the day that is your biggest breakthrough. I have learned that my biggest surprises come when I actually expect it least. And with God, it's like that. I always try to be expecting, you know. But then there are times that you just sort of, you don't remember it for a while, and you feel, oh boy, maybe this is a day that you're not going to get through. And before you know where it is, God appears. And He's never, ever let me down. For that reason, I say to you this morning, in just my short encouragement before I leave, I'm here next Sunday, but just to sit there and worship with you. But one thing I want to share with you is that God are there for those who seek Him. And He will be there for you to seek Him, whatever you may need. If there's somebody here that do not know Jesus as Savior, you can begin to seek Him. He'll make sure that He's in a space where you can find Him. He never hides from anybody. He simply reveals Himself and says, here I am. Are you looking for Me? All He needs is for you to look for Him. And then He makes Himself available to us. I pray God's blessing, God's strength, God's encouragement to you, that the year, the months of the year that's still lying ahead, I think half the year is gone. How is it gone, the first half? Okay? Well, I can say to you, the second half will be more than just okay. It will be good. It will be good because we've been fed this week. And this morning, I'm here just to encourage you. I know it's the day after the night before now, and you're tired, and I can see so many of you tired. I understand that. I more know the mornings after the night before, but, you know, take courage. Your energy will be restored, and you're going to go out this tomorrow. You'll be fresh and ready to witness and be that testimony of what God means to you. God bless you, and I love you.